Back together again, you and I chatting it up Thursday style, December 4th, 2025 on Connecticut Today. We welcomed Epoch Times reporter Joshua Philip to the show to discuss the growing tensions between the Trump White House and Venezuela. We also looked back at the River Restaurant explosion in Derby back on December 6th, 1985, with Derby firefighter and alderman Ron Sill. Joining us right now is an award-winning journalist, senior investigative reporter at the Epoch Times. He's the host of Crossroads, a news analysis program on Epoch TV. His works have included breakthrough investigations into the origins of COVID-19 and the Wuhan laboratory in the early days of the pandemic. Yes, remember when they told us it was bat stew? No, I don't think so. We're going to talk about the whole situation here with Venezuela. Joshua Philip is joining us. Hey, Joshua, it's Paul here in Connecticut. How are you?
Doing well, and no shortage of news these days, huh?
Yeah. Explain, Joshua, the Venezuela thing. I mean, this is a country, and people can find this. And I remember when Venezuela, pre-Maduro, had one of the highest standards of living in the world, all the oil and natural elements they had there, minerals and everything. Fifth or sixth standard of living, and now we are almost threatening an invasion here with the drug situation. So lay the groundwork here. Why Venezuela and why now?
Well, the reality with Venezuela, I mean, first of all, you're 100% correct. Venezuela was one of the top, I mean, I think the top economy in all of Latin America, one of the top rising economies in the whole world. Ruining Venezuela took effort. The decline really started under Chavez, right? Hugo Chavez, the leader before Maduro. And he basically put in place a lot of the systems that collapsed the oil markets. You know, they were always an oil economy. Yeah. He also brought them a lot closer to Cuban intelligence. And so Cuba, working with Chavez, what they did was kind of pushed out the United States. And, you know, Maduro, of course, was handpicked by Chavez, his successor. But they pushed out the United States and the whole Monroe Doctrine. The United States used to have a policy going back to the, I mean, it still does, going back to the 1800s, maintained, of course, during the Cold War, of no foreign intervention in Latin America. It was our backyard. Don't mess with it. Chavez, working with Cuba, established many different organizations throughout Latin America, uniting the different countries there, but excluding the United States and Canada. And what he did in place of pushing out the United States was brought in a lot of Chinese investment, Belt and Road Initiative programs, a lot of which were test run there. And so working together with that as well, he also created a lot of drug trade. The drug trade was kind of the expansion of the oil markets into new territory. And they also used that for what they call the pink wave. That was the late 90s, early 2000s, when you had socialist governments basically take over most of Latin America. They used drugs to finance a lot of that. They used the cartels to kill a lot of the political opposition. They used it basically as a tool for a coup d'etat to overthrow their rivals and take over a lot of different countries in the region. That's why you have criminality basically working hand in glove with governments there. When it comes to what's happening right now, Maduro came in, picked up the mess Chavez left him, and the economy was in shambles. Maduro basically was trying to start a war, even very recently, because he wanted the oil out of Guyana, just north of Venezuela. And in fact, just a couple months before Trump started posting the videos of them blowing up those Venezuelan drug boats, the big piece of context everybody misses is that Maduro was about to start a war. They were positioning their military right on the border of Guyana. They passed in their law a statute that claimed they have historical ownership of it and they could ignore international courts to take over Guyana. They were launching military naval incursions against Guyana and the EEZ, the Exclusive Economic Zone, including right by ExxonMobil stations, which were looking for oil and doing an oil exploration. They found one of the largest oil reserves. A large-scale war was about to take place that was prevented when Trump and them, and of course, you know, the military started blowing up these drug cartel boats and basically gave an ultimatum to Maduro, you know, days are up, pick your poison. How do you want to go?
So, Joshua, what is your opinion? I mean, would the people of Venezuela, would they like us to go in there? I mean, is there any love there for Maduro or not among the people?
They despise him.
That's what I read. Yeah.
So this is the important context on this. Maduro lost the 2018 Venezuelan elections. The winner of the elections is a guy named Juan Guaido, right, who's currently living in exile in Florida.
Yes.
He is recognized by the Trump administration and even by the Biden administration as the official winner of the 2018 elections in Venezuela. He's regarded as the government in exile, and he's waiting to basically retake power because the United States, bipartisan, Trump and Biden, recognized him as the legitimate winner. What is forgotten is this. 2018, 2019, there were large-scale protests in Venezuela because the Venezuelan people knew Maduro stole the election. Mm-hmm. Maduro launched paramilitary attacks to kill the protesters. They were shooting people point blank. They were raiding people's apartment buildings. Trump, during his first term in office, was threatening intervention to overthrow Maduro. Biden was even talking about regime change there.
Wow.
But, you know, during this time. Yeah. Maduro made a call for China, Russia, and Iran to help. Mm-hmm. Russia sent strategic bombers, nuclear-capable bombers, to Venezuela, and they told the United States in Trump's first term in office that if Trump intervened, there would be bloodshed, and if the Trump intervened, it would be detrimental to the United States. They made indirect, again, deploying nuclear bombers there, to indirect nuclear threats to America, telling America don't intervene. And then China, CCP, launched a diplomatic kind of front operation targeting international courts to discourage U.S. intervention. And Trump, in his first term, actually backed off. As we stand now currently, Maduro tried doing the same thing again, calling for Russia, China, and Iran. They're not coming to his rescue this time.
The cavalry's not coming over the hill, Joshua. Is that what you're saying?
Russia has already given calls for Russian citizens to flee the country.
Oh.
So then nobody's coming to save them this time.
So Joshua Phillip is joining us from Epic TV and the Epic Times. So look into your crystal ball, Joshua. Plug it in or put fresh batteries in if you haven't done that. What happens here? I mean, everybody is, before we hooked up here this afternoon, I was like, everybody is treating like these boat strikes like we're hitting Carnival cruise line ships. We're not. These are people looking to import stuff that kills people and hooks people in this country. The president is talking about ground troops or an invasion in Venezuela. What do you hear? What do your sources tell you? What's the best bet here as to what happens over the next couple of weeks?
Okay, so first off, I partly grew up in a fishing town in New Jersey, Point Pleasant Beach.
Yeah.
My dad did commercial fishing in the winters, and I grew up around that. I'll tell you right now, I've never seen a fishing boat without fishing equipment.
Yeah.
Not something I've seen before.
With high-powered outboards. Yeah, go ahead.
And I've never seen them paint the top blue so it blends in with the ocean. So if you get lost, no one can find you. So these are not fishing boats. These are drug boats. And I think the media trying to make a big thing about this, they're just doing it because they want to make noise and they're trying to cause controversy. That's the reality of it. On Trump's side, they're not talking about war. He's even said there's not going to be a war. What we're going to be watching is targeted strikes against Venezuelan leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Treasury Department and the State Department have now declared that the Cartel of the Suns, which Maduro is tied with, the Cartel of the Suns, or is the leader of, is a terrorist organization, meaning they can kill them. Maduro, the leader of Venezuela, is a designated terrorist leader, as are many of his many of the guys around him. In fact, on that point, even when they were doing those attacks against the protesters in 2018, 2019, the accusation was a lot of that was tied in with the Cartel of the Suns, and a lot of that was tied in with FARC. They were working with FARC on a lot of that, which is also just now coming out. And so you're going to watch targeted strikes killing the leadership. And you're going to watch regime change, and that's going to be the quote unquote war. You might see some special operations forces, just like targeting any other terrorist organization.
Check out his work, folks, at the Epic Times. That's TheEpocTimes Times, TheEpicTimes.com, Epic TV as well. Joshua Phillip, award-winning journalist, senior investigative reporter. Hey, Joshua, thank you. We appreciate it. We'll hook up down the road. Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, there you go. Joshua Phillip, The Epoch, E-P-O-C-H, TheEpochTimes.com. Back here on a Thursday edition of Connecticut Today on WICC, 600 AM, 95.9 FM, and of course streaming on voiceofct.com. 40 years ago, this coming Saturday on December 6th of 1985, an explosion rocked part of the city of Derby, and it went on in the aftermath to help set some federal, local, and state guidelines as to firefighter safety and construction safety. And we, of course, talk about the River Restaurant fire on Main Street in Derby happening just before 4 o'clock, again on December 6th of 1985. Joining us right now is an eyewitness to that explosion, first firefighter on the scene, and current Derby alderman. He was on the Board of Aldermen when this happened. He is also still a firefighter, a past captain, and 52-year member. Still active, by the way, of the Pegusset Hook and Ladder Company in Derby. We welcome Ron Sill to the program. Hey, Ron, good afternoon. It's Paul. How are you, sir?
Good, Paul. Nice to be with you.
40 years ago, Ron, at 1985, this coming Saturday, right, December the 6th, and according to what I've been told, you saw the explosion and you were the first firefighter there. So for listeners who may faintly remember it or are younger listeners who have no idea what happened, outline what happened that day.
Yeah, it happened at about 4 o'clock. I worked down the street at the Life Touch Studios, which was a school photographer one block away.
Yeah.
And I left work about 3:45. To take my weekly jaunt up to the cigar store to get my lotto tickets. I was returning down the street back to work, mm-hmm. and I was just at the corner in front of the building, stepping off the curb, and a large rumble came from underground. It was loud, but it was muffled. And I knocked me to the ground just as I stepped off the curb. I looked back, and I saw the building falling down behind me. And there was a smoke and stuff coming down from the sky, all pieces of ash and this and that.
This actually knocked you over, Ron, to the ground?
Yes. Yep. I was just stepping off the curb there, and boom, right behind me. I was 6 feet from the building at the time.
Wow.
And I went down, and I looked back and tried to get my faculties, like, where am I? And there was no smoke, no fire. And I got up, and I said, holy mackerel, and I didn't know what to do. And I started running towards it, and then I remembered there's a phone a block away, right, four buildings away, in a foyer of a restaurant.
Wow.
I ran down there, called the police station, and believe it or not, a fellow fireman from my firehouse is also a police officer, Ed. Uh-huh. And I said, Ed, the River Restaurant blew up. He says, what? Is that what I just heard? And he's like three blocks away. And I said, yeah, send everybody. And I ran back up there, and people were starting to come out the front, and there was a fire starting to erupt in the back of the building, coming through everything, smoke and fire like crazy. And the people were coming out the front there, and even the owner came out. His name was Al. He was all covered in white powder, and he was yelling, my son, my son.
Oh.
And people were coming out staggering. Some people were being carried out. But I said, Al, what's going on? My son is in there. I can't find him. He was right next to me. So I said, a couple cars came with guys, and we ran around to the back of the building, and you can hear him through the wall. It was a cement wall, though.
Oh.
And he's yelling, get me out of here. Help, help. Al started banging on it with his hands, and there was nothing you can do there. So the fire truck started to come, and we figured out after about 10 minutes, go into the building next door, break through the wall, and get into the River Restaurant. And that took a matter of, probably a half hour.
There were six people killed. 18 people were inside the restaurant at the time of the explosion. So 12 people were injured in this whole thing. Unfortunately, six killed, Ron, correct?
Yes, yes. Terrible. There was a Stratford couple and an Ansonia mother and daughter and two people that had actually been working in the restaurant. And the people that survivors were coming out the front door in all kinds of shape, blood and this and that. People were running to help them, and ambulances started to come. And in the meantime, we went back to the back of the building and knocking through the wall. They had, by then, all kinds of tools to get through that mm-hmm. wall. And young Michael, his son, was crying, get me out of here, get me out of here. And the water that was being started to be sprayed on the building was burning him because it was going through the fire. And he said, I'm burning my hands, my face, get me out of here. And a short time after, they did get him out, thank God. But that was the scariest part of it. But it was a day I'll never forget, I'll tell you. Just so happens, my brother-in-law was in there and his friend. And every time I would walk by, I would look in the building, see who was in there, because the window was eye level. But for some strange reason that day, I never looked in, thank goodness.
So in the wake of this, Ron, you know, out of tragedy, a lot of times we can do things or suggest things or make laws to hopefully prevent this from happening again. So this had, what, local, state, and national implications, did it not?
Yes. Oh, yes. And thankfully, our state rep from Derby at the time, his name was Vin Tanucci.
Mm-hmm.
He brought up a law to call before you dig. It's a famous law now.
Yeah.
Back then, they never did that. 2 days before, they were smelling gas. And Mr. Eppolito, the owner, had the gas company come over. And I guess they went down in his kitchen and all, and they detected nothing. But they kept smelling it. And it was tragic that it went on, and then it ended up like that. 3 hours later that night, he had Christmas parties. He probably would have had 200 people in the building.
Wow. Wow.
So it was really something.
Yeah. And also, I guess from what I'm told here, this resulted, Ron, in the requirement that fire departments across the U.S. had to start, what, carrying gas meters?
Yep. Gas detectors. Yep. Yep.
Wow.
A lot of good things came out of a terrible situation. But, you know, it's too bad it wasn't known before, but it made it a better world after, believe it or not.
How often do you think about this, Ron?
Well, to tell you the truth, for the first 5 or 10 years, when the guys would start talking about it, I would walk away. It was really something that I tried to block out, but over the last 10, 15 years, I've seen a lot of different things and gone to a lot of places, and I'm a lot better with it now. But it was just being right there was just something that I could never imagine happening. But something saved me that day.
Derby Alderman and firefighter Ron Sill. Ron, thank you so much for joining us as we look back on now on virtually 40 years since the River Restaurant explosion in Derby. And as we can say, some good as far as new safety measures and new requirements did come out of this. Ron, thank you. And hopefully we can chat down the road. Take care, Ron. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yep. Take care. Bye-bye.